Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to another Wednesday night here at AfterBuzz TV as we break down not one, but two episodes of The 100 here on AfterBuzz TV. We are so excited. The 10th and 11th episode in the fourth season. This is getting nuts. It's getting totally crazy. It's jumping off. We're so pumped to break it down for you. Hang out with us, guys. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my god, I didn't know it was a Motley Crue kind of night.
What?
This is so exciting.
Oh.
I'm amped up, guys.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, you look visibly amped.
Oh, I'm ready to dance.
Like. Yeah. So guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I just want to sing. I want to sing in Vince Neil voice for you right now. Welcome to the show. No, that's not really it. It's a bad one. Welcome to the show, guys. This is AfterBuzz TV, and we're talking about The 100. We're talking about Season 4, Episode 10 and 11, Die All, Die Merrily, and The Other Side. I'm your host, Ben Bateman. You don't see Alexis Torres, but we've got a brand new host on the show. Welcome, Natalie Dyer.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is your first time on The 100 seat.
Yes, it's my first time on a panel altogether.
Oh, it's so. Your very first one?
My very first one.
Oh, wow, are you excited?
Oh, I'm so excited.
There's going to be some serious hazing in this episode.
Oh, no. No, I'm not so excited.
Did you like the episode, at least?
Oh, my God, I loved the episode. I loved both episodes.
Yeah, we have two to cover. There's so much in so little time. Guys, so if you're wondering what the hell happened and why we're covering two in 1 week, we were all prepared to come in last week. But there was, like, this thing called baseball airing.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. And truth be told, guys, I'm a huge sports fan. I just don't like baseball. But it shut out our ability to watch the episode. So we couldn't watch it in time to come in here and do the recap. So we had to sandbag it and come in and do the double down this week. And wouldn't you know it, last week's episode turned out to be, like, one of the great episodes of the show ever.
So good.
Oh, my God.
I rewatched it today, and I was so tense the entire time.
They literally were like, okay, so let's take one part The Hunger Games and one part Mortal Kombat. Let's just make a 100 episode about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I love. I absolutely love.
Yeah,
I love
it was both sick. Those, so. It was unbelievable. I was a huge fan. So, guys, anyway, if you want to follow along in the conversation, we're here to take your thoughts, to respond to everything. You can find me personally at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Natalie, where can they find you?
Oh, they can find me at Natalie Dyer. I spell my name with two E's, no I.
Natalie?
Yeah, NATALEEDYER at Twitter or Instagram or any other social media platform.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So we can be like, when things are getting really dark, I can say things like, it's a dire situation, and then you jump in, right?
Oh, you can totally do that, yes.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Yeah, guys, this is, it was good. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. We've got Steve up in the booth. What's happening, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Excited, yeah, man.
Carry on.
So yeah, guys, we've got so much to cover. The last thing I want to ask you for is please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. We provide free content here at AfterBuzz TV. We will always provide free content, and if you give us a rating or a review, preferably 5 stars, but, you know, I'm not twisting your arm here. It does help us keep the lights on. We have to have the lights on to do the show, so that would be super cool.
We have a lot of lights.
We have a ton of lights.
So many.
We're full of them. So let's get straight into it. I'd say we just jump into Die All, Die Merrily, which was the Hunger Games episode.
I mean, it was Octavia-centered, so I was all about it.
She's quietly, not even quietly anymore, we've been talking about it forever, just become the best character on the show.
I think she's been one of my favorite characters from season one.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much would say they really lucked into something special with Lexa. Like, just because she was such a unique character for television.
Right.
And you look back on it, and you even just watch just clips of her, like, on the throne.
Yeah.
She's so cool. It's like, I almost, at the time, looking back at it now, didn't quite realize how special it was.
I had like, fallen behind and got all caught up. And I definitely saw how special that was the minute it was happening. I was like, you were officially my favorite character.
Yeah.
I was in love with her. She was amazing.
Yeah, so she was unbelievable. But since the death of Lexa, I think it's pretty safe to say that Octavia has really taken the mantle as the show's best character.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and it's like episode after episode after episode, she just gets, like, these badass fight scenes, and she's just such a savage. I love that she just looks at Ilian and she's just like, I'm not going to be the girl you want me to be.
Yes. Oh, I loved every minute of that, because he was trying to push her into something that she is not at all.
He was dead as a doornail from the second they slept together.
Oh, yeah.
That was just clear.
Yeah.
I felt bad for the poor kid.
Yeah, he was trying to fill a slot that was not available, really.
Right, yeah. He couldn't give her what she wanted, which is just death and destruction.
Right.
So, yeah.
Revenge.
yeah, so she like she gets pushed into this battle, and then she ends up showing up to go into this fight, you know, and it's the 13 clans that are all facing off in this sweet, sweet deathmatch.
Yes. And she, well, I mean, she didn't really get pushed into it. She came.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, she got pushed into it because she had to murder those three, like, farmer warriors.
With a hoe, which was so awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, my God. But, yeah.
They should have been like, you just a hoe. And she should have stood over and be like, I'll show you a hoe.
That, yeah. No, I got it. I got it.
Thanks, Steve. No, anyway, yeah, so she took them down and shows up for this battle, and seriously, it felt like a video game.
Yeah,
it was structured.
I would play that video game.
Right?
Yeah.
You're, like, watching the episode, and you're like, oh, sweet, this is the guy with the double, like, the double knives. Yeah. He's got the big staff. You're like, oh, that guy's fast.
Hammer.
Yeah, the big hammer. You're like, oh, you got two blades. You're like, that guy's got, like, a pike.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's real quick. It was just totally like, oh, this is going to be sweet.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I literally wanted somebody to be like, it has begun, or something like that. But, that was just unbelievable. And I love how... the setup was just perfect. I don't know. I was in love with that episode.
I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I love that Octavia played kind of the stealth route.
Yeah, right.
Which I really liked. I also want to know where her second sword was, because I feel like she's always fighting with two.
Right.
And so I was like, you only have one. You're barely wearing, like, armor at all.
Yeah. She's going brisk. Yeah, so I love when she's standing there and they're all like, okay, like, this guy's got the heavy armor, so avoid him. And then he's got the double sword, so stay to the right. He leads with his left. And you're like, what are you doing? And then she has the moment with Indra, which was, like, such a good moment.
That was so touching. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she needed that.
Low-key, I'm pretty sure Idina Porter is the best actress on the show. I'm, like, pretty positive. I was kind of thinking about this the other day. Who actually is a higher quality actor or actress on The 100 than Idina Porter? Like, I feel like if you look at the stuff she shows up in, she's in the newsroom, she's in Underground.
I love Newsroom.
Yeah, she's like a legitimate dramatic.
Yeah.
Could show up in like some Clint Eastwood Oscar winning Best Picture movie next year, and it would not surprise me at all.
Oh, yeah, no.
Whereas it's not like Eliza Taylor is going to show up in that same movie. It's possible, but it's a lot less likely.
That's true. She was in that Thumper movie, though,
yeah,
right?
With, yep. I'm not sure.
I cannot think of her name. The girl from Game of Thrones.
Oh, Natalie Dormer.
No. Cersei.
Sure. Who's
Lena?
Hedy.
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
I mean, no, certainly no shade thrown at Eliza Taylor. I think she does a good job. I guess I just mean there's a dramatic quality to Idina Porter as a character actress.
Well, she commands the
screen. Stands out.
Yeah, she commands the screen when she's on it.
Powerful ass woman.
Yes.
Yeah, big time. but that scene with her and Octavia, I have a weak spot for father son moments. Tends to be like in movies and things, that's what gets me teared up.
Okay.
And I got a little teared up watching this one. It was when she gives her the sword.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love their entire relationship. So,
so good.
Whenever there's a moment between the two of them, and especially something as powerful as that moment.
Right.
Because let's be real, Octavia is her like adopted daughter.
Right, totally.
Like it's the daughter she wanted, Indra wanted.
Yeah, well, and like the weird triangle with her and Gaia, and like Gaia has those weird reactions when she's just like, you picked a daughter, you know?
It's right.
Like, and then Gaia has the moment where she's hugging her during the battle.
I was so confused about that moment for a minute. I was like, oh.
It's weird. But then Octavia's alive. When she comes back, Gaia has that same look on her face of disappointment almost.
Yeah.
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 So one thing that I thought was interesting here was like, aside from the moment with Ilion in the cave, which is like sort of where Octavia lets her guard down for a second, and then you think she's letting her guard down for about a half an episode.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the two times that we had seen her as, like, vulnerable or deferring to anyone. And, like, not just being a complete just
like
stone.
Like, since season one.
For a while. Yeah. It's been a while. And it feels like this scene she had with Indra right before the battle, where she's giving her the sword, was a good reminder of how much Indra is, like, her mom. Like, how much she looks up to her.
Right.
She was truly listening to her. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I would say that, she didn't really, her mom kept her hidden, and Indra's kind of the opposite, you know, Indra's there to support her and is saying, go do these things that you're really good at.
Right.
You know, I've trained you well, fight. And whereas her own mother had to hide her, and Bellamy's always trying to protect her. It's a completely different relationship with Indra and Octavia.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too, that Bellamy used that example, you were the girl under the floorboards.
Right.
You know, that he's like, be that girl again. And ended up working for. So let's just run over the 13 clans and some of the deaths really quickly. So really the only, I'm trying to think if there's any relevant ones. So first you have Ilion is a pretty relevant death.
Yeah, he was.
Kind of, but I mean, like I said, he was just.
He was kind of just a stand-in.
He was so clearly going to die.
Yeah.
He's probably the only character I can think of in the 100 that was more of just like, you are going to die, is Bellamy's girlfriend from the beginning of season 2, I think it was, or 3?
It was season 3, because they had defeated the mountain.
That's right. Yeah. And she shows up in episode 1, and you're like, so you've got about 2 episodes here.
Yeah, yeah.
What was her name again?
I don't remember.
But yeah, so aside from that, Ilion was pretty much like from the second Octavia, opened up her heart to him, he was a goner. So arrow through the neck, pretty savage death.
Yeah.
Definitely pretty good one. And the fact that she has to take him out, I can't feel my legs, and she stabs him.
Right.
That's pretty badass. It's pretty badass.
I mean, he was going to die anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was so good.
It was really good. I mean, yeah, he was going to die anyway. He just wanted, like, an honorable death rather than one from Echo.
Yeah, and he was weak, too. He was soft, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, what do you... Yeah, like, no, you can't show up to the battle and, like, not kill your girlfriend when you see her.
Right.
And expect that one of you is going to die, and you let your
girlfriend.
Guard down. I mean, it's pretty close.
Was it?
As close as Octavia's gotten.
That's true.
Well, actually, that's not true, Lincoln.
Well, I know. I was meaning since Lincoln.
Since Lincoln, yeah. which, by the way, like, I love that their relationship, Ricky and Marie, like, in real life, there's, like, pictures of them just, like, when they hang out, like, riding Harleys.
I love that they ride Harleys.
Yeah, it's
so great.
I think
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So Ilion dies. That's a pretty significant death. Aside from Ilion, the other ones in this fight that mattered were Luna's death at the end, and then, obviously, Prince Rowan.
Yeah.
Rowan's death was pretty satisfying. I mean, he pretty much, for all intents and purposes, died at the end of last season. He, like, got his throat cut, but they decided to save him.
Right.
And elevate him to series regular.
Yeah.
Which was, like, it's pretty much, like, you literally got your throat cut, and they just didn't show you bleed out, so they were able to bring you back. So the whole season felt like borrowed time a little bit.
Yeah, and he kind of played out his arc.
Right.
In all honesty. Like, he was not moving the show forward in any sense, and, you know, he was just there, so...
Pretty Definitely forgiving. Didn't. He seemed like a little... For a prince to be betrayed as many times as he was...
Yeah.
He felt like he was a little too tolerant of Clark. I felt like I feel like, truly, by this point in the show, he would have killed Clark, honestly.
Either killed Clark or, like, had, like, stuck to a deal. Because it was a constant back and forth between both of them betraying the other, essentially.
Right.
And so, yeah, you would either expect one of them to kill the other or to have it stuck, like, the deal stick.
Yeah. Definitely. And I just, like, the way that, like, there's all these, like age-old traditions and the grounder and the clans and just, like, Sky Crew just, like, disrespects them over and over and over again. And everyone's just like, yeah, we'll just, like, not murder all of you. It's just a little bit like, come on, guys.
Like, okay, Octavia and Murphy are the only ones who have, like, integrated into the grounder lifestyle. I mean, Clark says she has.
Yeah.
She is not.
No, definitely not.
No.
She, like, always feels she's saving the world and, like...
Right.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I mean, she has her good moments, but, like, I've said this since day one, and I'll say it again. Mm-hmm. Any show where you have one main, like, right in the center, mm-hmm. there has to be this, like, moral barometer that you attach to the main character where you can't stray too far in any one direction.
Right.
Like, the point of view of the show has to kind of come from that one character. Otherwise, they wouldn't be your lead. It's a really hard job. It's a really, really hard thing to do to be the lead on a show.
Yeah.
Because if they give you too drastic of an arc, if they throw you way off the reservation, you can't really very well be the actual anchor of the show anymore. And so I think she suffers from that sometimes, which is like if the point of view is the plan has to be to do everything we can to save the people and save the world, she kind of has to be the driving force. Which makes her, like, the lightning rod for just being like, oh, my God, shut up. I'm so sick of you right now.
Yeah, and always making those hard but also terrible
decisions. Yeah. She does her job very, very well.
Yeah.
So, but in any case, Rowan gets, he gets, like, stabbed and then stabbed again and then drowned.
Yeah.
Yeah,
He survives quite a bit.
Yeah.
To then just...
He's dead.
Yeah.
He's got to be dead now.
That was a brutal death, though.
It was brutal.
Like, Luna went the extra mile for him.
Did you read the news this morning that Zach McGowan got cast as a Hawaiian character in a biopic? and there's like white, the whole whitewashing thing. There's like so much controversy this morning because of it. I can't think of the name of the movie, but he's basically playing a Hawaiian character.
Oh.
And like, it was just like another one of these examples.
No.
Like,
oh no. I mean, I love him. He's a great actor, but
yeah, I like Zach. He's good.
Oh no.
So yeah, so he's dead. The final important death in this is Luna.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, aside from Echo just being kind of a bitch, but we'll deal with that in a second. So yeah, Luna, I gotta be totally honest, full disclosure, I thought Nadia Hooker did a pretty bad job. I thought she
like acting the part, or
yeah, like I think she's been a pretty sweet character. I think she's a pretty good actress, and overall I've actually liked her.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't seen her in a couple episodes, and she just showed up and just her, I don't know, it was like too aggressive. I didn't really buy it. It was a drastic turn, and
I was gonna say it was a flip, 180, 100% on our character.
Yeah.
From going to like wanting to save everybody to now I'm gonna kill everybody.
Right.
Because humanity doesn't deserve to live.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe throwing out that she did a bad job is way too judgy, because like there's a million takes and you have no idea which one gets used,
right,
and the editing has a huge part of it. And I know she's a good actress and I've liked her character a lot, so no slight on her, but I got taken out of it a little bit. I felt like she
was too fueled by anger, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, she was very, she was kind of heavy-handed, her, like, character turn.
Yeah.
And then also for her to be, like, such a savage and be so good and then get tricked at the end there.
That was very frustrating. I mean, I loved it because Octavia survives.
Right.
But at the same time, I would have loved to see a legitimate battle between Luna and Octavia rather than a trick.
Yeah.
You know.
But they couldn't, because Octavia wouldn't win.
That's true. Yeah, I know.
Because Luna trained in combat
from the age of like 5 or something.
Do you ever wish sometimes like you were trained like that?
Yes. And then like 100%.
And then you rebelled maybe, and at age 12 you like went to go, you like go like live a regular life.
Yeah.
But at any point in time you're kind of like
still kick ass.
Yeah, like you're like the chick from Long Kiss Goodnight, where you have like basically amnesia of how to kill people. And
right.
So like one, it clicks and all, you know, or History of Violence,
yes,
where you just like know how to take people down.
Yeah.
Anyway.
that's a quite frequent daydream of mine, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so that happens. Everybody dies, that, you know, they get out of the fight, and Octavia's like, yeah, I'm going to save everyone, you know, 100 per clan. And then Bellamy has been abducted, and Jaha... This just in, guys. Jaha's been a villain for, like, 3 fucking seasons, and, like, no one acknowledges it.
3? Aren't we on our 4th season? I think he's pretty much been a villain since the beginning.
Pretty much. I mean, at the very, very beginning, he was the Chancellor.
That's true.
And he sent... Like, he was the Chancellor. People got sent down, and the airlock... Like, he floated people to, you know, save oxygen. When they got down to Earth, he was... You know, because it was like, I'm trying to think, it was the end of season 1 that he goes down in the rocket ship.
Yeah, I mean, that was his only redeeming quality, I would say, was that one moment when he sent them all down.
Right.
And he was like, I'm going to sacrifice myself
to save the people.
Right.
But then pretty much turned into a crazy cult leader villain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jaha.
Yeah.
We've been doing the Jaha. My man! We've been doing that since season 1. So he executes this plan, Clark's on board, which is just like, I mean,
I get where she's coming from. Okay, if you're Clark and you're trying to save your people,
yep,
and there's no guarantee, because she did have her whole plan of becoming the next commander, or, you know, with the chip, and it's been thrown out, and she has no guarantee that her people, who can run this facility, would be allowed in, and she is a servant of her crew.
Right.
I get where she was coming from, that she was like, we need to save them. That doesn't mean saving humanity, unfortunately, in my opinion.
Yeah, with Clark, what I was talking about with sort of her, like, obnoxious point of view, it's interesting. It's like, she always believes she's doing what she's doing to save the world.
Yes.
She always believes she's doing it, because if she doesn't, the world's gonna end.
Yeah.
But I think after 4 seasons, a character that believes that and, like, always believes she's making the hard decision to save her people, when, like, generally speaking, she'll make, like, a hard decision and then the stakes will change and something will reveal itself to be, like, that what she did actually wasn't necessary,
right,
or something else comes up, or, like, something saves the day. And, like, I realize that it's TV writing, but it's just a little exhausting season after season
to
just be like, all right, Clark, I get it. You're like a martyr for the cause here.
Right. You got to kind of feel bad for her, though, because every time she thinks she has something and she's doing it one way, it is. It's just the opposite. And that's going to be so hard to live through. You know, like,
At least
every turn.
At least Bellamy, even though he's frustrating, Bellamy has to live with making horrible decisions. And his decisions usually aren't, like, anywhere near as, like, driven by, you know, just like, I'm going to make the noble, hard choice.
Right.
Bellamy's like, I got swung by Pike. I'm angry. I murdered people. Like, I'm doing this to save my sister.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind
of... He has justifications.
Yeah. He's like a regular-ass dude who, like, does dumb stuff and has to regret it.
Right.
Where Clark is like... Yeah, anyway. But...
Noble lion heart...
Something.
...thing. I don't know.
Yeah. So, pretty much that brings us up to what's happening in this episode, I believe. So first and foremost, you know, there's this conversation that's happening with Jaha where like somebody says to Jaha, I must have missed the election that made you chancellor again.
Yeah, Bellamy said that.
Which is a really important line because like that, it's the audience's point of view, which is like for several episodes now, you've been basically just calling the shots, kind of just instructing us.
Yeah. Even to like trying to force Jasper's crew to leave.
Right.
When all they want to do is stay and party and die.
Yeah.
Like. That's all they want to do.
Totally.
And so the whole fact that he's like, oh, I'm in charge. You have to do what I say.
Yeah.
Like, that was super frustrating. And I 100% agree. I was like, what? When did this happen?
Yeah. So we'll get to Jasper in a second because there's a lot of stuff to talk about there. No, it's good. I'm excited to talk about it. But, yeah, so first the conversation's happening. And I love that, like, they get Octavia on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Bellamy's like, Octavia, are you okay? And she's like, I'm alive. I won. And I wanted to say, now where the hell is my trophy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you kidding me? I killed everyone and I'm locked out?
Yeah.
What is the matter with you? You know what I mean? Like, where's my steak dinner?
Oh, God. I would be so pissed if I was her. Like,
yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. So that's this whole, like, negotiations happening and they lock up Bellamy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Abby has to... Everybody's basically just petitioning for the person they love.
Right.
Seemingly the only people who are capable of making hard decisions that, like, sacrifice every... Like Clark is the only one who like, makes these decisions where it's, like, for the good of the greater good.
Right.
Everybody else, like, makes these decisions to, like, save the person they love.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, no, 100%. She's the only one who can, you know, she does that.
Right.
Everybody else is one... They're all about the loved ones, and she is willing to sacrifice anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I think she was willing to sacrifice her mom at one point.
One point.
She's been willing to sacrifice Bellamy. I mean, Finn. He goes all the way back to season one.
Thomas McDonald.
Season one, season two.
Season two. I think he died in season two.
That was season two, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's willing to sacrifice because she believes, again, that she's doing this for the greater good.
Right.
This overall universe.
Totally.
And everybody else is just slightly more selfish and also more relatable.
Right.
In that sense.
Yeah, so this negotiation happens. They send Murphy down to kind of keep watch on Bellamy and uses his Murphy charm, which doesn't work for too long because Bellamy breaks out. Well, sorry. Yes, Bellamy breaks out with the help of Abby.
Right.
To get this whole situation set up. Where at the same time, we've got a storyline going on with Raven.
I love Raven.
Yeah, she's great. Where Sinclair has shown back up, the ghost of Sinclair. So this is really interesting. I was thinking about this. Lindsay Morgan has had such an interesting arc as a character now. They've really taken her through the ringer. And when you realize that the story she's been living now for, like, the majority of this season, she's, like, just literally fighting one battle against herself.
Yeah.
She's, like, in her own story, in her own world, and it, like, kind of relates to the regular world, but she's, like, not really part of the rest of the story anymore.
Right.
Right?
Like, yeah, she's just, like, ostracized out there.
Yeah.
By herself at the moment. I mean, and even Abby has the whole brain thing, too.
Right.
But they've just kind of dropped that.
Yeah.
And like, it's really just Raven.
Yeah. And with, like, the whole Sinclair and Allie.
Except for she calls her Becca.
I don't know
if you noticed that. I was like...
She calls her Becca, right.
Yeah. Which was interesting to me because it's really Allie's code.
Right.
Not Becca's code.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
And it's like angel on the shoulder, devil on the shoulder.
Yeah.
She's like playing that game. And I love that the decision in this episode she made, she's like, yeah, totally. I just have to kill myself. I've got to just, you know, immerse myself in freezing cold water and electroshock. I'll die for 15 minutes. It's cool. I've rigged this to get me back alive. And then if that doesn't work, I'll limp on the ground over to that thing and I'll defibrillate her and I'll be alive. totally good. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's because she's that badass.
She's, yeah, because she's that awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a savage. They do a good job of using Lindsay Morgan's physicality also. She's, like, in crazy good shape.
Right.
And always has been.
Well, and she works out a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Like, she's a lot.
Like a savage. And they, like, definitely put that to good use.
Yeah.
Because, like, when she's pulling herself across the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially because, you know, Raven has her leg and she can't
right.
technically walk. And if you are in cardiac arrest, which she was,
right.
it would be even more difficult to get across the floor.
She's been fighting with, like, she's basically been compensating for this, like, perceived weakness mm-hmm. or insecurity she has since literally season one.
Yeah.
Since the heart murmur in season one, where yep. she was the mechanic with a heart murmur to take a chance on.
Right.
To Finn leaving her for Clark.
Right.
So feeling not wanted.
Mm-hmm.
To then her leg and feeling like she wasn't good enough and like she needed to overcompensate for the leg.
And the pain.
And the pain.
From the leg.
That came from it.
Yeah.
To like feeling like she has this incredible intelligence and it's her burden to bear and she has to like use the intelligence.
To save everyone.
Yeah. Even to now. Like she's been fighting like against herself for so long.
Right.
That's been her story this whole time. You wonder if she's ever going to get to rest.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, I feel like it would be uncharacteristic for Raven.
Yeah, I don't think she'll actually rest, but I think she might have a reprieve for, like, maybe a minute.
Yeah, or something. I, like, don't really know what to think, what they're going to do with her character at this point. Every season, I'm kind of like, what the hell are they going to do in the next season?
I'm so wondering that at the moment.
Yeah, what's going to happen after Prime Fi?
Yeah.
They're all just locked in a bunker? That's the show?
Right, that's what I was wondering. I was like, it's basically going to be like season two when they were all in the mountain.
Right, maybe they do like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch crossover with Riverdale and we get like Sabrina like fixes everything and like, oh, this show's getting crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that'd be good. Do you watch Riverdale?
I haven't started it.
It's
worth it?
It's like mind-blowingly good.
Okay, I'll have to find the time too.
Yeah, so good. So, yeah, so that's the kind of the Raven storyline that's been mm-hmm. going on. It was good to see Sinclair show back up.
I was so excited to see him.
Yeah.
And to have him be the angel.
For sure. Yeah, it was fun. That was cool. So then over on the other side of town, we've got, like, Monty and Harper and Jasper and this whole thing going on.
Yeah.
I just hate Jasper. I'm sorry, yeah. Mic drop. I just can't, like, I've hated him for so long, but he's just, and now he's dead. But.
Yeah.
I guess, did we see him die officially?
I would say yes, because Monty was there watching him, and he did stop talking and presumably stopped breathing, or at the very least, he is now left there.
Yeah.
While Monty makes a run for it, you know?
All those kids. God, they're just the dumbest. I just couldn't, that part of the story was like, okay, I get it. You're all, like, 18, 19 years old, and you're scared about having to make life in this bunker.
Right.
And you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And yes, I get it. When you're young, you make rash decisions, and you're impulsive, and you're angsty. But at the same time, like, all of you are this stupid? You're all just going to die? Like, let's just hang out and get drunk in nuclear winter.
I mean, they were all a part of the original The 100, though, right?
Right.
So they've lived and they suffered on the Ark. And I think a lot of them were probably imagining it was going to be the same. And I do appreciate that Jasper had this whole, we need to live while we can and not just try to survive. It's the whole life should be more about more than just surviving.
Right.
And he really embraced that this season, which was great because it's something that a lot of the characters should probably look into, at least somewhat.
I know, but then, like, what about the scene when what's his name, Riley's overdosing?
Yeah,
like,
no,
we need some help.
And then he's crazy.
Yeah.
And then he's just, I mean, not crazy, that's a bad term to use, but yeah, he was gone.
They're like, we need some help, and everybody get the kit, and it's like, what are you talking about? They all just want to die. Why are you guys freaking out? You're
right.
Just all going to die, so if he dies, just let him die.
Right.
If it's from drugs or radiation, who cares?
That was all Monty, though. Monty was really the one that was trying to save life in that situation.
True.
I mean, he was called over, though.
Yeah, right. Somebody said, yeah, we need help.
Yeah.
So, Monty and Harper.
Yeah.
So, Harper. Well, let's finish up on Jasper before we get
sure.
to that. So, this was kind of a heartbreaking scene, I do have to say. When he goes to find Jasper.
Right.
And Jasper is taking so much Joby T, he's going to OD Joby T. Joby Berries aren't a real thing, right? That's...
No, I don't know.
There's probably, I'm sure they're not a real thing. I'm sure it's just a thing for the show.
And if they are, these were radiated ones.
Yeah,
anyway,
radiated.
So it doesn't matter.
And so Jasper's just like, stop complaining and just say you love me.
Right.
You know, which was nice. I like that he invoked the L word in friendship.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You don't see that very often.
Yeah. I mean, like, you tell your friends you love them.
Yeah.
But to say that in that moment instead of say, you'll miss me, or, I don't know, we had some great times together, or anything.
Yeah.
Just to say you love me. It's a good line, actually.
I thought
that was good,
yeah.
Writing by the writers.
It was. It was really good. And it's heartbreaking for Monty.
Right. He's losing everyone he loves.
Yeah. I mean, he lost his mother last season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's be real, since season one, Jasper and Monty have been a pair.
Right.
Like, this is a season it kind of, like, broke apart.
Yep.
But for the most part, from watching the show for this long, you automatically think Monty when you think Jasper.
Right.
Vice versa. So.
Yeah. You know, Jasper was supposed to die in the first episode.
I did know that.
Yeah. With the spear through the chest.
Right?
Yeah. Quite the good run for Devin Bostick there.
Yeah.
He's really survived. So, yeah, this was definitely a heartbreaking scene. And at this point, Monty thinks that Harper is already gone. He's already...
I mean, I kind of honestly thought...
You thought she was done?
I mean, because she'd had her heartbreaking moment, right? She told him to leave her.
Right.
But, so for a second, there was a second there where I was like, oh, shit.
She says, but it didn't make sense. I looked over to you after that moment happened,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, this doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense that she would... She feels like she's pretending. She's pulling the I don't love you card to get him to leave her. But
because she loves him
that
much. Yeah,
because she actually loves him, but like, why? Then just go with him.
Right.
And she says, I don't love you, and I don't love you enough to... Where does it say? I don't know. I had it written down. You're not enough to make me want to live. That's a tough thing to say to someone. If she had said, you're not enough to make me want to live, and then he had to go live in the bunker afterwards,
yeah.
Those would have been some tough words to live with.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and knowing that she died and,
right.
and Jasper died, and yeah, that would have been, I think Monty would have potentially fallen down a Jasper-sized
hole.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would have been rough. I'm glad she changed her tune. But it made sense she would change her tune, because for her to have the crying moment outside, mm-hmm. just, it didn't add up.
No,
she was projecting, and she decided to swing back on it. So at the end, they see each other, and she tells him that she loves him, too.
Yeah, and it's so sweet.
It's a good Marper moment.
It's a great Marper moment.
I like Marper. I have more faith now. Well, yeah, I have more faith they'll both survive. I was sort of beginning to suspect that they were going to maybe kill off one or both of them.
That would be brutal.
Yeah, I don't think... I never was, like, super strong on, like, both Harper and Monty dying, but I had a sneaking suspicion that either Harper was going to die or Monty was going to die, and somehow Jasper would be redeemed or something like that. Now that Jasper's gone, maybe Harper and Monty both live, but maybe one of them still dies.
I hope not. I mean, I really do hope not. But at the same time, if they do, I hope that it's in a grand gesture.
Yeah, I mean, Monty...
Like, that it's one worthy of their characters.
Monty saved Harper,
mm-hmm.
which means maybe Monty dies, because Harper will then, you know, have to live on with the memory of being saved by this guy.
Right.
Maybe that's the move.
I mean, so Raven's alive.
Yep.
She's fixed her brain.
Yep.
But she's stuck out there.
True.
I'm thinking that maybe Monty and Harper will go be the ones to go pick her up.
Oh, sure.
And bring him back to the new arc, or
right.
whatever they're calling it, bunker.
Sure.
That's my suspicion.
That they're going to be the ones to go run
yeah.
the mission?
Could be.
Even though, like, but I feel like Harper was already getting pretty sick.
That's true. That's because she wasn't in the suit.
Yeah.
And, fun note, Monty did say he made three of the suits.
He made three suits. Yep.
Three
suits.
He
could take seven people in the rover.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I think you make a good point. So what else is going on in this episode? So then you've got the conversation about who's going to get left in, who's going to actually make it into the arc.
Yeah.
Where Octavia has the line where she says, 100 slots for each clan.
And for 100 beds for each clan.
Yeah, one of them goes...
To Bellamy.
To Bellamy. But she didn't say anything about herself.
No, she didn't.
What do you think about that?
I'm terrified of that. I'm kind of hoping that Indra's sort of in charge of Tree Crew, right?
Yeah.
Octavia's sort of...
Part of Tree Crew?
Indra's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping that Octavia's found a spot, like a place where she can legitimately feel included.
At home.
At home.
She sort of has no people, though.
No, she doesn't. But she also sort of stood up and took what I would say is Lexa's, position and has enforced this, we're all one.
Sure, right.
We're all one clan, which is what Lexa was trying to do, and I feel like Octavia's, as much as Octavia had trouble with that
right.
at the beginning, I think now she's kind of
yeah. Yeah, you wonder, you wonder sort of with the Game of Thrones comp, who sits on the throne in the end, like who's mm-hmm. who's running the show. For a while it felt like, yeah, it would just obviously be Clark who ended up there.
Right.
And for a minute there, it looked like it was going to be with the flame.
Right.
But I can't really see it being Octavia. She just doesn't...
Yeah, I can't either.
Doesn't strike me as her character, really. On the other hand, she's become such a fan favorite now that it's hard to believe that Octavia's going to die. Echo is out there. I don't think Echo's actually dead. I think Echo's probably going to find some way to pull some shenanigans, right?
Right. I think she'll figure a way into the bunker.
Somehow. It would seem unlikely that that would be the end of Echo.
Yeah, it would also be, again, an unworthy
death.
Death.
It's also sweet, though, what Octavia said to her, right? She's like, I said I would take Asgate. I didn't say anything about right? you.
Yes.
And then you pause for a second, like, wow, that's cold. And you're like, oh, yeah, she did stab you.
Yeah.
She did stab you.
She did stab you and you fell off a cliff. You yeah. had a Lord of the Rings moment.
Yeah, full Lord of the Rings moment. God, that was so sweet.
That's so good.
Alexis and I were just like losing it. Yeah, so I think, what else? Are we missing anything else super, super important in this episode?
I mean, I have a whole issue with, like, Clark and Jaha, and they're saying they're saving the human race, and yet
right.
if we're being real, and they're the supposed to be the scientists.
Right.
Inbreeding is going to be a problem.
Right. True.
Especially because I don't know how many people are still surviving from the Ark.
Right.
After coming down to Earth. I don't know how many were on there in the first place.
Yeah, it's pretty vague about numbers. It's kind of like when you cast high school in a TV show.
Yeah.
You get to be vague for 4 years until you have to start sending them to college.
Right.
It's yeah. kind of the same thing.
Yeah. So I'm always just wondering about that when they were like, no, it'll be fine.
Right.
For the next 6 years or
sure.
whatever they're stuck in there.
Yeah.
6 years, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers everything that we saw that was super important. I can't think of anything else super crazy. So,
yeah.
Guys, if we miss anything super big, tweet at us and let us know, and we will respond to you about it. Let's get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So you just threw in. Oh! Boom! Yeah, it's a good match right now. your big prediction that you just shared was about Monty and Harper going to find Raven.
Yeah.
I think it's a strong prediction. I think probably my prediction is that death's this season. It's going to be either Harper or Monty. I don't think it'll be both. I'm kind of, now that I'm thinking about it more and more, leaning towards Monty because of Harper. Because
right.
I think that it's a good arc for her character to have been saved.
It's a great arc for her.
And then have to say goodbye to Monty.
Yeah.
But then again, Harper to this point hasn't been that relevant of a character. And Monty, with Jasper now dead, is a pretty important character. So maybe that's a little less likely. I mean, people that have died in the last two episodes, Jasper, dead. Raven officially died and came back to life. Luna, dead. Ilian, dead. Rowan, dead. Echo, in theory, dead.
Yeah.
So a lot of the tertiary characters are kind of just gone now. Like, I'm trying to think of any of the mains. I mean, this could be the one where Jaha bites it, but we've been saying that for seasons. Like, it feels like that guy should have been so dead so long ago.
I mean, I'm hoping that they...
Off Jaha?
And I am hoping that it's from fire.
That, like, he just burns to death.
Yes, yeah.
Oof, savage.
I'm hoping. I really don't like Jaha.
Yeah. He does a good job, though.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a great actor and all of that, but I do not like the character.
Yeah, I feel that. All right, well, I think that pretty much wraps us up, unless you have any other big thoughts in the predictions.
No, but I think they're going to have to recast or, cast a whole bunch of new characters.
Yeah, well, I mean, you still have Clark, you still have Bellamy.
Right.
You'll still have your core five
core,
or six.
Core, yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine the show's going to go past five seasons, so.
I would like to know how they're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go to six. I know five is coming back, and they'll probably have one final season.
Okay.
I would guess. I mean, maybe they'll have six, but it would be sort of shocking to take the story it feels like this is the season where they clear out a lot of the chaff characters, and then next season they'll have some really dramatic deaths. But this last couple episodes were insane. So
they were so good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thank this is AfterBuzz TV. I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. And one more time, a big welcome to our brand new host, Natalie Dyer. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and where can the folks find you?
Oh, you can find me at Twitter and Instagram and all social media is at Natalie Dyer.
Cool. Awesome, guys. We'll see you same time, same place next week. May we meet again.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.